Good evening, glorious humans of the internet. Welcome to another episode of the Teamability No Excuses podcast, where we try and bring real talk to matters of disability with no excuses. It has been a while, but sadly, I'm still here, and I'm still joined by these two schmucks. I got Andy Moore and Brett Wills. Say hello in no particular order, gentlemen.
Yo.
Hello in no particular order.
There it is. See, he's
that was coming.
Yeah, he's a very literal guy today. Bretsky, I know you are absolutely exhausted right now, and we'll get into that. It has been a while since the three of us have gathered around our microphone, and I know that all three of us are in very different places than we were the last time we gathered. So I appreciate you staying up with us, Bretsky. We'll get you out of this one quick enough to get a good night's sleep.
Yeah, thanks. It's already 10 to 10 and my bedtime's 10 o'clock. So,
okay. So Brett will only be with us for another 9 more minutes. I better talk fast.
It's dead air after 9 minutes.
Yeah, fair enough. Andrew Paul, what are you saying, buddy?
I'm not saying a lot. I just, we took a little break. And it started out as it wasn't planned, but the way everything kind of fell, it just made sense. One thing I would say is we probably should do a better job of promoting the fact of we were taking a break, because a few people were like, did you guys just stop?
And whoops.
Essentially, that's what we did. But like I said, everything just kind of lined up to step away for a little bit. And we got a couple new ones lined up already. So I think it's going to pick right back up again, but that all depends on you two, and I'm not saying that negatively. I think I've made it very clear that it will only go as far as the three of us take it. So
yeah, I just, as you were talking about how long it has been, Andy, I grabbed my phone, flipped over to my podcast app, and I realized the last time we published was over a month ago. So I guess we got to get our butts in gear here.
Yeah, man, and like I said, it's nobody's fault. It's just obviously you're going back to school working. Bretsky's going back to work. And I decided to go back to school as well. And it just kind of all formed this perfect storm of let's just take a break for a little while. And
Internet, there and no bones about it. We all three of us took a leave of absence from the podcast in no uncertain terms. We needed to recharge our batteries, and I mean, I'm better off now than I was a month ago. I feel better. I mean, jury's still out if I look better. My girlfriend will tell you that I look better.
Well, to your point, man, it's very well documented that you are not shy to share your opinions, plural, on social media. And since Alexandra has come into your life, your posts have become a little more upbeat, I think. the old Brett's still there. The OG is still there, but there's a little bit of a more pleasant post from time to time, because – yeah, you still got to keep it real, but
I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I just enjoy, and I have yet to meet her face to face, and I even have yet to throw her a Facebook friend request. And I know Andy's gonna laugh at that one, because typically that's my first go to. But I do enjoy the constant chirping that she gives you too. So she it's a lot of back and forth between you two. It's pretty entertaining on social media. So we've had a lot going on over the course of the last month. I know probably even most recently, Andy, you celebrated a birthday in your house. So how did that go for you?
Yeah, it was really good. I think, again, very well documented, my concerns, issues, being a father. And for as much anxiety in a good way that Maya brought me, Maisie has just upped it that much. it's insane to me to watch this kid just try to do what her sister does at a third of the age. And she's walking around already. I'm not good with the milestones.
I thought you were going to say I'm not good with the walking. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but she just turned a year and she's already walking, but not just walking now. She's climbing literally everything. If there's a way for her to climb, she's going to figure out how. And on a serious note, it's so much fun to watch the two of them interact. And she always wants to be where Maya is. She sometimes couldn't care less about Amanda and I. She just wants to be doing what Maya's doing. And it's really cool.
For sure. Just wait, man. You spoke about how fast life goes. Sooner or later, you will be activating your child's first cell phone, which is something that we did today in my house. So,
Caleb's what, 35 now?
Yeah. That's about it. Yeah. That's about it. He is going to be 13 in November. We said from the outset that we didn't want to do the cell phone thing until he had reached high school, which is next school year. He's just started eighth grade this year. But with all the uncertainty around school bus lines and just the chaos of the new school environment and school system, and him coming home with his two younger siblings in tow, we decided it was time to get him a phone. So we just activated his first phone today. So that was, I felt some gray hairs come in on my head that day when my son got his own cell number. I'm thinking, holy smoke, what is happening?
I didn't get my first cell phone until I was 18.
So. Yeah. I think I was 17. I think I made it to grade 12 before I got the old flip phone on a Telus prepaid card. Times have changed. We've seen a lot of postings about some sketchy behavior in our neighborhood and stuff. And so we just kind of decided now was the time for him to have a phone and be able to reach us whenever he needed. So it was a bit of a no-brainer that way.
Like you said, it's been over a month since we posted, but it feels like a lot has happened in that time. We probably could talk for a while, and I don't know. Maya started karate too, so that's cool. Where do you guys want to go from here?
Yeah, right. So Maya is. I saw a photo you put up on your social media. Maya is at the same studio that you were doing some training at. You've got a lot of history at that particular studio, so that must be pretty surreal to put the gi on your kid and watch her throw some punches. No.
Yeah. Like you said, I trained there, and then now with COVID. Classes stopped, obviously, and then they were doing it online, but the online times just didn't line up with my schedule, and now they've opened up again, so we're gonna see if we can make it work. But to your point, I know the owner there very well. He's a good friend of mine, and as soon as Maya was born, I was joking that as soon as she was able to crawl, I was gonna put her into karate. Anyways, her third birthday rolled around in April, like we talked about. And long story short, we decided not to put Maya back in daycare just because Amanda's off till March. So in March, we'll kind of reevaluate. But at the same time, I feel it's very important for her to do something social. So it was actually Amanda said, "What about karate?" It's literally 2 minutes from my house. She would get some social interaction and, kind of a regular schedule again. So, we kind of floated the idea to her and, she said, "Yeah, I want to try it." And again, as insistent as I was, still am, about getting her into it. And now Maisie too. I want it to be their decision, right? So, I don't know what kind of parenting strategy that is. I don't know if it's a good one, but we said we'd try it, and she actually really liked it, and so she's on board now, and we're gonna see how it goes.
Well, I mean, I know her balance is better than yours, so she should be throwing you around before you know it, there, bud.
Yeah, she's 2 lessons in, 3 lessons in, and they're already kicking. So I was like,
she's got you beat.
Yeah, I'm out.
And the good news is that she's going to be able to kick anybody's ass that crosses her or her daddy.
But no, yeah, but it's crazy. I think she knows I take karate, and she's already asked when we can do it together. So that's kind of cool. I don't know when that'll happen, but
you guys will be sparring before you know it.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
all right. I want to throw to Bretzky. We have it. I'm going to come back to you, Andy, because I know you're in a different place now. You've mentioned that you are back in school, and I think that's super relevant to what our podcast is all about and to our content. But I got to check in with our buddy Bretzky, because I know Cottage Country had you for a little bit. You were spending a lot of time there, but you, my friend, are back to work. So tell us what that is looking like for you. Any of our faithful listeners know that you took a voluntary leave of absence, or a leave of absence that was sort of granted to you by your employer. So you are back to work for the first time in what I can only assume is about 6 months, no?
Yeah, it was just shy of 6 months. I'm grateful that I was able to go back to work. They've welcomed me with open arms, and almost to the point where they said, well, where the hell have you been? Jokingly, of course, but it's been an interesting week and a half. All my job duties have changed on my job description, which is both awesome and concerning all at once. And I'll tell you at the end of our recording tonight why. I mean, I'm going to leave that for
saving it for the offside, are we?
Yeah. No, I've got a pretty good offside tonight, in my opinion. All right.
Fair enough. We'll come back to it. Continue.
But I work with some of the greatest people I've ever met. Everybody was genuinely concerned about me and why I left. And I didn't necessarily tell everybody that it was because of COVID. I just told them that when I got back, I said I just needed time to recharge my batteries. And so I took an allotted leave of absence for some mental health reasons. And that, you know what? But that's partly true. That's legitimately partly true.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think there's any, not that you were saying there was any shame to that, but there certainly is some weight to that, right? I think that, you know, anybody that had to step away from work, you could very easily look at the mental health side of self-preservation, and I think your the timing of your mom getting the place up in Bracebridge, and you just spending some time at the cottage trying to catch fish. We all know how that went for you, but you know, good for your mental health, and good for the, as you said, to recharge the batteries and really hit the reset button.
And it gave me an opportunity to look deeper inside myself and recognize that I need more, a little bit more help than I had admitted to myself previously. So I'm speaking to a therapist once a month right now. And it's only been 2 sessions, but I already feel a lot better. Got people at work are telling me that I look good, I sound better, when I talk to them, that I seem a hell of a lot more positive. And that is partly true. I don't think I've ever admitted this. I deal with chronic pain on the daily, and I mean, I don't know about the 2 of you. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. I'm not afraid to admit it. Like I'm literally in physical pain every single day. Mm. And when I went back to work, I decided to go back to work on a full-time schedule. Previously, I had been working 5 days one week and 4 days the next, but I wanted to give a full-time schedule a chance, not only because I think that they deserve my full attention, but because I'm missing out on $2,000 a year, which in retrospect is at least part of a mortgage payment. Right. So,
yeah.
I mean, lots of things have changed in the last 6 months. Some of them are, I would suggest all of them have been super positive, no matter how you swing it. There have been, like I said, there have been some times where I've just wanted to kick my own ass.
But you can't kick.
Yeah, but I mean, I've got a pretty good right hook.
Punch? You punch your ass?
I've literally in the past I've taken some boxing lessons and I've right hooked myself in the face.
Okay, that's better than punching yourself in the ass. I'm still trying to visualize how that happens.
Let's not visualize that.
Okay, because fair enough. Let's move on.
Yeah, that could be a completely different offside. The last 6 months have been great because, like you said, I've been up at a cottage. I've been away from the city. By the way, I hate the Greater Toronto Area now. I don't know how I've lived here for 36 years.
So you're ready to just, you know, permanently move to Bracebridge or what? What's?
Yeah, I literally want to move to the middle of nowhere and never come back.
Well, but we would miss you.
Yeah, but you know what? This podcast is. Like,
okay, well, move to the middle of nowhere, but somewhere with internet, so that we can at least get some content out.
The internet in Northern Ontario is the worst in the country.
Oh, right? you're preaching to the choir, buddy. I understand.
It's given me a completely different perspective and a whole new appreciation for absolutely everything that I've experienced in my life.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, I'm glad I'm glad that you have some routine and some, you know, you're back to work, but it seems like it's a different environment and that reset button or that break is exactly what you needed. So I'm super grateful for you and for our friendship, but also for you to have work back into your life. Because while I know that spending so much time at the cottage was such a getaway, I know that you are the type of person, and we've talked about this at length on our podcast in terms of the three of us and our vision for our lives. And, you know, you're somebody that wants to be actively contributing to society and not sitting idly by while others do the work. And so I'm grateful that you and super cool that your employer was so accommodating as well to just give you the time you need and to bring you back kind of no questions asked. And it's good that you've found that stride again, my friend, although it's not a literal stride because, you know, stepping is difficult.
And I mean, like, and that was a good joke, by the way, but I haven't seen everybody that I work with yet. Like we're on rotating days. And some people are working in our Burlington office and some people are working from home and rotating into Oakville. But I've heard that people who I haven't seen yet genuinely have missed me. And it's nice to know that I kind of made an impact before I went on leave.
There you go. It's nice to feel loved. You know, people like you, Brett Wills.
Well, I mean, I think the two of you like me despite how you treat me.
We just pretend to like you for the internet.
Well, I mean, I think Andy has a leg on for me. I'm not sure about that.
Come on now.
I like you.
Before we get to me and what I've been doing, I want to come back to Andy before I forget, because God knows I talk a lot. I spend at least 7 hours of my day talking nonstop these days. But I want to come to Andy because you have made the decision to go back to school. What's that looking like for you? Tell our our listeners. And I know you were mentioning today over our group chat that our podcast actually came up at school. So that's really, really cool. You got some overlap there. But tell the world what has been happening in the life of Andrew Paul Moore.
Yeah, so we didn't really talk too much during the shutdown, but my business, my fitness stuff, kind of just stopped because the majority of my clients are all based for either like agency based. So within special needs community, like whether it's assisted living, respite programs, that's where I would say probably 90% of my business came from, right? So during the shutdown, all those programs are shut down as well, obviously, right? Higher risk. So even now that things are starting back up, they're much more wary of who comes in the building and the protocol around that. But again, even before that, for the last 6 months, my business was a big chunk was gone. I still did some stuff online, those are just clients, like one-on-one clients as opposed to group stuff. So anyway, point of the story, I started looking around for other options because there's no guarantee that when everything is open again, like even if I would be going back, there's too many unknowns with COVID. So sent an email out just to see who would be interested. Some got back to me and said, not right now. Some said, not at all. Some didn't even answer me. So I kind of took that as, it's time to start looking for something else. Came across this accessible media production program. And as we've talked about, I have a background in video production. We started doing this podcast over a year ago. There's a huge social media component in the program as well. So all the stuff that we're doing kind of here and there with this podcast, it just kind of shows you how to do it properly. And then as well as that, do it so that it's accessible, which obviously is something very near and dear to me and to you guys as well. We're a week in and already I'm just I'm pretty excited about it, and we're gonna see how it goes. I shot you guys a message. One of the first things we had to do was again, everything's online because of COVID, so it's beneficial that way, but all it was a slideshow with pictures of celebrities, and you had to pick either disabled or not yet disabled. And that wording to me is pretty interesting.
So just to jump in there for a second, so it was an able body that was not yet disabled. That was the wordage they were using in the class.
Yeah. So kind of the wordage we're preaching already. They probably say a lot better than we do because I stumble over my words all the time. But just guys like Howie Mandel, for example, He doesn't have what would be considered by able-bodied people a disability, but he's obsessive compulsive, right? Mm-hmm. And there's another one too. I can't think of it. But Jim Carrey, ADHD. Mm-hmm. Halle Berry has diabetes, right? So the whole idea is, and Clay talked about it on the podcast, Rick Mercer outfitted his cottage to make it accessible because one day he's going to be in need of an accessible place to live, right? And Kevin talked about it. as well. Everybody has something, and it's just not all visible to everybody all the time. And again, I just think the disabled or not yet disabled is an interesting way to look at it for sure. So I don't know what you guys think about that, but I thought it was pretty cool. And then just today, today's lesson was about social media and podcasts. So in my interview, I said I had a podcast, and so the instructor today, she was letting me talk a little bit about the podcast, and the assignment was go listen to a podcast that you haven't yet. And
excellent. So how many new listeners do we have?
I don't know. I just she actually suggested to go check out ours. So
very cool.
Great. She's gonna come back to you and say that Brett Wills is a dickhead.
She wouldn't be the first one, but
fantastic.
No, I think it's really interesting to me because, yeah, I think our views aren't necessarily the normal views of a person with a disability, people with disabilities. I don't know. So I'm actually looking forward to the feedback because I know a couple of people in the class were going to check it out for sure. Yeah, I think this is going to be a really good avenue for us to go down, and even if we could utilize just a little bit of it for this podcast, for this platform, I think it's going to be beneficial. So,
well, I'm excited for you, man. When I hear the words like accessible media, I literally think of you, and I think, you know, it's when you told Brett and I the story through the group chat of kind of getting the interview and then kind of getting the spot, getting a spot on the spot. I thought you know, your resume in the sense of, you know, your small business experience, your self video production, your marketing towards your ability fitness, everything that you've done. And obviously all of us being persons of faith, everything is happening for a reason, right? Just stepping stones to get you to this. And so it's exciting to see what will come of this. I think this is the next step in your journey. How is it, you mentioned obviously, just as many college and university students across the country are dealing with the online studies at home. How has that been with trying to balance the kids and home responsibilities and essentially being a full-time student from home?
I can't talk all of a sudden, but it's been an adjustment. I think the last 6 months I've kind of taken the role of get Maya up, get her kind of moving into some sort of routine, and when I was accepted, we kind of had to sit her down and just say, there's going to be a couple days where I have to start going to school. And our days are going to look a little bit different. And but beyond that, I'm able to go into the office because it's remote. And work from the office, and then that way I get a chunk of time without the kids, because it would be hard to do it from here, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, for sure.
It would be hard. So I'm able to get my class stuff done and then work on what I need to for the day, and then
so you're doing the bulk of your, are you doing a lot of your school stuff at the office then, just for the piece of
equipment?
Yeah
exactly. So it's just rearranging everything, right? I've said it before, the last 6 months have sucked for a lot of people.
Yeah,
and I just said I lost a good chunk of my business and had to figure out something else, which has led us here. But I would, I'd be kidding myself if I said it hasn't been amazing for the time that I've gotten to spend just with the family, right?
So, yeah. Yeah. I remember you saying that on an episode of the podcast in the beginnings of this, you know, these are the blessings in all this is the time at home with maybe the people that you were taking for granted before all this stuff, right? And getting lost in work routines and things like that. And yeah, it really forced us as dads to spend more time at home and more time with our kids and not see and not take some of the things that we had in the past for granted and see, you know, just how amazing time with our kids could be.
Yeah, for sure. And
can I touch on a couple of things now because I'm listening to you, Andy?
Sorry?
Can I touch on a couple of things? Because as I'm listening to you, a couple of things are just popping into my head.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, number one, it's no secret. I tell you guys in private all the time. You two are some of the luckiest guys I've ever met because you're both dads and you're both kick-ass dads. You're super family oriented. I'm envious because I already know that I'm never going to be a dad, and that's a choice. I don't handle children very well. I love them from afar. My niece and nephew are my world, but a full-time dad thing, probably not in the cards. And I'm cool with it. I've come to terms with it. I'm going to be the greatest uncle in the world for as long as I'm alive.
Everyone needs a crazy uncle, right, Brett?
And that's me. I'm Brettsky, the crazy uncle.
Listen, I've talked a lot. But one person that has not talked very much at all is Mr. Pilo. So
easy on the Mr. Pilo. I'm going to feel like it's between the hours of 8 a.m. and 2:20 p.m., which is our new dismissal time, which is pretty crazy. But yeah, thanks, Andy.
You've slowed down a little bit with your workouts or what?
Ish. I think it's only natural to slow down. Probably at last time we talked during the summer, I was in the gym 6 days a week. Or I was doing my 5Ks, but then I was doing these 5Ks, and Brett, you came and joined me, and that was such a great day at Montgomery Park in my little loop there doing the runs. But then I started popping tires like crazy. So I started going to the gym more, and I remember one of the last times we met for a podcast, Andy was kind of saying, I told you so, because all along you're saying, you know, the runs are great, but get to the gym, do some resistance training. So when I started popping tires left and right, I thought, okay, I'm not even going to, you know, the 3 days a week was Andy's suggestion. I said, I'm going to go like six because now I can't even do these runs without popping these tires and doing more damage to my tires than need be. So yeah, at its peak, I was getting to the gym 6 days a week. Now that I'm working again, I'm still finding time to go 3 to 4 times a week, only because our work situation is so different. Of course, our listeners probably know that I'm a high school music teacher who was very, very active in extracurricular commitments, concert bands, vocal rehearsals, trips, and all of that, which is now not happening. And so I've been taking the days where I would usually be at school for some kind of rehearsal or practice and going to the gym those days and then still going on the weekends. So I've been back to work 3 weeks now with the PD, but 2 weeks in the class and just trying to still get to the gym as much as possible. Looks a little different now just because after work I'm going for about I'm getting there right after work and changing at the gym and whatever, and but I still prefer work it in the over the weekend and get up in the morning while the rest of my house is still asleep and get to the gym and get back as everybody is kind of getting into the morning routine. So it's fair to say I'm in a pretty solid routine now, and that's probably, and Andy, you can attest to this more than anybody, the hardest part is getting into a routine and keeping with it. But I'm definitely in the routine now and most definitely seeing some of the results, which is serving as extra motivation to keep going.
That's awesome, man. So, I was laughing when you're like, Andy said go 3 days a week, so I'm going to go 6.
Yeah. It was a weird one. I remember you having conversations with you because I was doing these runs every day, and you were like, man, like you just, even if it's 2-3 times a week, you know, get to the gym, get some resistance training, get some weights into you. And there was some hesitance there. For me. And then I just started popping these tires on these runs. I went through 2 sets of tires in 3 weeks at a time. So like within a month and a half, I had spent a bunch of money on tires. And so maybe that was part of the reason. I also really discovered, honest to God, that I like the COVID gym. It's quiet. I book my time. I go when I can go. And the gym is quiet. You don't get, you're not waiting in line for the equipment. I can get in and get out in an hour and get a good workout in. And so, very much in a routine now. And I don't see myself, I mean, obviously things have had to change with going back to work, but, happy to be in the routine and definitely, seeing the results is even more motivation. And when going back to work, of course, you guys know I'm a social media idiot with the amount of posts that I make. So a lot of the people that I work with were well aware of what was going on. But when I went back to work and people started seeing me in person, you start to get some compliments over physical changes that you might not even notice kind of happening. And so it was kind of cool. I don't know how much weight I have lost because I can't stand on a scale, but I know that I'm down a pant size and I'm down a shirt size, and so that's how, and down a chin or two. So that's how I'm quantifying my success.
That's awesome, man. I think. I said it before, and I'll probably say it again. I don't know if anybody's harder on you than I am.
I would say no.
But I think we've tried this little dance a couple times,
yeah.
And I'm glad you're sticking with it, and it's working for you. And
you're right, Andy. It's been a revolving door. This little dance that you just referred to, in terms of my physical well-being, and you trying to get me not necessarily trying to get me healthy, but trying to get me to stay consistent has been a battle. And I've documented that before on the podcast. That being said, I'm over 2 months in. I know that because of, logging in with all my apps and tracking all my workouts and my eating routines and things. So yeah, I'm just over 2 months into this and feeling pretty great. So, I think I'm in a place now where I don't see this stopping, maybe slowing down, having to change, with work routines, but certainly not stopping altogether.
Awesome. Well, there's Chad wearing his fitness hat. What about, like, how does school look? You're very vocal, even during COVID, that you miss your kids, you miss your kids being your students.
Yeah.
You miss your coworkers. And you were kind of itching to get back, as I assume a lot of people were.
Yeah.
But what does it look like now? And the only reason I phrase it that way is because we're going to have somebody on in the next couple weeks who's also a teacher but decided to work remotely. And I think it's going to be interesting to contrast the two work environments. But there's some reasons he decided to do it that way, and that we're going to get into that too.
Yeah.
What does BR look like right now?
Yeah. Well, it certainly looks different. I think you could say that about any school that is going through these changes. So the entire model of what we knew from the previous years has been completely restructured, way down to the way we do class. So currently, we now have the same our kids, anyways, at my school. We're a bigger Hamilton Wentworth Catholic is a bigger school board. board. And so we are cohorting our students into cohort A, cohort B. So I'm seeing half the students on Monday, Wednesday, and every other Friday, and then the other half on Tuesday, Thursday, and every other Friday. So smaller class sizes, distanced desks, obviously masks mandatory in the building. I'm actually not a music teacher for the first 23 days of class. So what we're having the students do now is one course at a time so that they're with the same teacher all day. So we have three long teaching blocks and then we break for lunch. So it's kind of like a summer school model in the way that it's structured. The kids are with one teacher all day. And so I'm actually now teaching, currently right now teaching a grade 10 religion course because one of my music courses got collapsed due to the online enrollment. Some numbers went down. And so I lost a music class and gained a religion class, which I mean, I like to talk about God anyway. So that's, you know, it was a pretty okay transition. But yeah, definitely different. What I miss the most is, you know, obviously from the obvious, you know, I miss the music room and the chaos of the noise and things like that. But I even find myself missing, you know, the busyness of the hallway, the energy of the building, the chatting of, between colleagues, whether it be staff or just hearing the kids chat in the hallway, because really the kids come in, they sit with you, and then just after lunch, they're allowed to leave to go home. And so it's just a different world. I think everybody's doing the absolute best they can. I absolutely respect those that have chosen to keep their kids at home for safety and my colleagues in education that have chosen to do the remote thing. And I'm looking forward to having a chat with our guest who has decided to work remotely. And he's got his reasons for doing that as well, as you mentioned, Andy. But yeah, definitely different. Just today in the music room, because I'm able to go in there in breaks and see some of the kids that I would normally see, some of our music students. Just today, we were essentially using drum shields and things like that to create some barriers, which sounds really sad, and it kind of is, but it allows the students to play some of their wind instruments, which have been deemed dangerous for obvious reasons because of potential virus transmission. And so we have them behind drum shields and playing their instrument into these shields so that essentially so that they don't have to do history and theory for 90 minutes at a time, 3 days a week, because who would want to do that?
Yeah.
So definitely a different world, but I'm excited to be back. You know, I've documented on many times before about how much I love my job, and you just said it, I love my students and the work that we do. I tremendously miss the extra commitment and the extracurricular and the bands and stuff, because, you know, a lot of high school kids, classes are secondary. It's about the teams or the clubs and the trips and everything else that you do. And a lot of that has been taken away. So it's tough on everybody. But I think that those that are there, because of course they had the option to learn remotely. And I think the school boards across the province have done a great job in trying to facilitate that. But those that have chosen to be there in person are there, obviously because they value in-person education. It's a different world. There's even half an hour at the end of the day where I'm doing synchronous learning, which is a fancy word for live instruction. So the last half hour of the day, I'm actually live online with my at-home kids as well. So I have a portion of my day, which is in class with my in-person students, and then a half an hour a day where I'm meeting with my students who have been home working for that day for their off day. So even though they're at home working at their own pace for the off day, there's still a half an hour a day where they can meet with me and we can take up some assignments, or they can get a little mini lesson from me and so on.
Cool.
Yeah, very, very different, but it is what it is, and we're all in it together, and I'm excited to be back to work. It's pretty fun getting up in the morning and going back to work, so I can't complain.
So the podcast previous to this one, we had your coworker,
Sean Radigan, Sean, yeah.
Right. And he was talking about the gym, the House of Gains, you guys call it.
Yeah.
That that shut down?
It has, yeah. The House of Gaines has been deemed unsafe just for staff and students altogether. So for the foreseeable future, there is no one using the fitness center, or as you mentioned, as we call it, the House of Gaines. So yeah, right now it's not being used. And so that's necessitated even more my need to get into the gym a little bit during the week. And I know my good friend Sean, who we'll hear from when we publish that episode, is still doing his at-home workouts as well.
Yeah. So, yeah, you mentioned the vibe of the school, the bustle. I don't know how you say it, the vibe, I guess.
Yeah, sure.
What's the mood like with the kids?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I mean, the kids are smiling. They're happy to see their friends. I mean, you can only assume they would have seen their good friends maybe a little bit during the summer anyways, whether it be distant or not, you know, whatever that looked like for them. But when you go into the music room, you know, you could see the smiles. You also kind of see them kind of, it fades a little bit because they see these shields up around the room. And, you know, we even have like plastic curtain barriers around some of the vocal rehearsal rooms, because even singing has been deemed to be sort of unsafe. So you got to do that in a safe way. And so a lot of what they knew from our previous years, it has been changed and it's different, and it's tough on them. I've noticed, and again, I haven't been in the music room as much because I've got a section of religion happening right now, but I'm noticing even at we'll take these 15-minute breaks after these 90-minute sessions, which can be pretty long. I mean, you're doing an hour and a half worth of content. We're essentially doing, in the 23-day model, we're doing a whole course in 23 days. So, you know, it's like doing, when you teach a week that way, it's like teaching a month, right? It's pretty crazy. And so you try to break it up. We have these 15-minute breaks. And I noticed, too, there's not even a lot of conversation happening between the kids on the 15-minute breaks, just because they don't want to talk through their masks, or their friend is too far apart from them and they have to sit in assigned desks. We have them all seated in assigned seating. And of course they can't change seats because of contact tracing. If there's ever, you know, any health concerns, we have to look at who that child was around that day and so on and so forth. So it's a little tough on them. It's tough on everybody. It's just different, but I think we'll get through it together for sure.
Hashtag the new normal, I guess.
Yeah, right. Yeah, absolutely. I don't know I don't know how much of a fan I am of this new normal, but it is what it is. And we have to make the best of the situation, I suppose.
Bretzky, you got anything you want to close off with?
I like sleep.
That's it. Well, listen, Bretty, Bretty, that was weird. Listen, Bretzky, I know you're getting tired and so am I, but I do know you have an offside for us, and we usually close off the episode that way in a traditional way. So why don't you hit us with your offside, and then we'll call it a night.
Yeah, so internet, it's been documented in this episode that I went back to work last week. Yay for work. I went back to work and had a meeting with our plant superintendent. The Tuesday I went back in, Tuesday after Labor Day. And he said, so listen, these are your new job tasks. And I looked at my job description, and I've taken a mental note every single year I've looked at my job description. And I came back and I looked at it, and literally everything had changed. And I said to myself, well, this could be exciting, and this is going to be neat, and I'm really amped for it. Until I looked at the very bottom where it said COVID control. And what COVID control is in my situation is I am required to take a bucket of lukewarm water with chemical in it and carry it around the warehouse and wipe down any contact surfaces that may have been touched by COVID hands. And I do this twice a day. And I mean, I can do it. I can physically do it. But I've got a bucket of water and chemicals 6 inches from my face.
Yeah.
So the whole reason for your leave of absence was concerns over COVID, correct?
Correct.
So, I mean, I'm no genius. I'm no plant supervisor.
No, but you're smarter than you look.
Hi-o.
Yeah, that's probably true. I mean, I don't look like a genius either, but I don't know if it's the best move for the plant manager to put you as the go-between between this potential virus that you took a leave of absence to make sure you didn't get, and now you're I'm putting it in basic terms, but now you're the last line of defense, the first line of defense.
First line of defense, yeah.
But I mean, yeah, that doesn't make a ton of sense for me. But
well, it was puzzling, and after the first day, I went into my HR department's office and I said, "Hey, listen, so I have a concern about work," and I laid it out to her, excuse me. And I said, so this is my concern. This is what I'm doing. This is what I've approached him about. And he said, "Well, can you think of any other way that you are able to complete this task?" And I sat there for a minute and looked at him and I said, "No, absolutely not." Hoping or half hoping that he would say, "Okay, we'll find somebody else to do it."
No, yeah.
He didn't. He still expects me to do it. But my HR lady said to me, "Don't look at your job description as it being concrete. Look at it as we needed to develop a new job description for you because admittedly you were away for a legitimate reason. And we needed to get people to do or replace you in the tasks you were completing because they were essential or integral." And that's fair. I completely understood that part. That's fantastic. And then she said, we wanted to eventually get you into the office so you're not back here busting your butt." Fair. Except one of the tasks on my job description are literally busting my butt.
So in the meantime, you're the water boy.
Yes, I'm Bobby Boucher.
Bobby Boucher.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
No, listen, man, in all seriousness, I don't... That just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Like, you're very open about the fact that you want to work hard and you didn't come to the decision of taking the leave of absence lightly. And it seems to me that they're just finding something for you to do, right? So I don't know. I might be wrong, but I'm from a very practical point of view. I'm not saying this jokingly. How with your wheelchair do you carry a bucket of chemical around without overflow?
So it's filled about a quarter of the way.
Okay.
I've got a clipboard as a platform on my lap so the bucket isn't lopsided.
Okay.
And I wheel as stable or as steady as possible around the plant.
Yeah, watch out for those bumps, buddy.
And it's funny because I've actually bumped into a pallet or two already in the last 2 weeks. Knowing farewell that they were there, I didn't realize how fat my ass is. You know what? I'm grateful and glad that I'm back to work. Could a new position be in the cards at some point in the next 6, 8, 10, 12 months? Absolutely. I'm just taking life day by day. But by God's grace, I have a job. I'm grateful.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. It's a great attitude to keep. And I think oftentimes we lose sight of that, right? Be grateful for what we have. It's so easy to look towards the next thing or look at those things that are making us unhappy. And Lord knows there's been enough of those in the last 6 months of this, 6 months plus of this. But happy for you to have some kind of routine back. And we'll certainly keep you in prayer for whatever those next steps might be. And certainly pray for your safety as you wheel around with a bucket of stuff.
Thank you, kind sir. I'm sure I'll be okay. But the love and support that you two have for me, it's a small part of my life, but it's certainly an important part. So again, thank you.
Grateful for you, man, and grateful for this team. Andy Moore, any closing words for us this evening?
No, we said it already. I think the break has been long enough. We're all kind of refreshed. We're all busier than we were, which is kind of funny because now we're ramping it up again. But there's already a couple of guests. We talked about one already, but there's some stuff coming that I think is going to be good. It's going to be beneficial. And who knows, after this course is over, maybe we'll be taking over the internet. Who knows?
There you go. Looking forward to whatever is in store with you two crazy. What's the word that Brett uses for us all the time? Knuckleheads. Yes. For you two crazy knuckleheads. It has been.
That's the PG word.
Yeah, fair enough, right? Fair enough. That seems like a good place to segue and plug that. If you want to hear us rant about inspiration, there's plenty of opportunity to go back and do that through the old episodes of the Team Ability No Excuses podcast. You could hear any of those episodes on any major podcasting device of your choice, whether you are an Apple or an Android person or a web-based person or whatever. You name a place that you look for podcasts, you will find the Team Ability No Excuses podcast, and you can hear us ranting about what it's like to be called an inspiration. Guys, it's been a blast. It's taken us a month to get together and do this, but I appreciate you both. Thanks very much for everything that you mean to me, and hopefully that you mean to the entire internet.